Hello, everyone. Welcome to Nothing But Now, Mindful Living with me, Dr. Mary Angela McGuire, on Transformation Talk Radio. During this show, I'll help you practice mindfulness. Most of the principles of mindfulness are very simple, but putting those principles into practice can be devilishly difficult. I'm here to help you become a student of your own mind. I'll share ideas, insights, and tools you can use to release yourself from fearful and negative thinking and live from a place of clarity and confidence. Please join me as we challenge ourselves to change. Nothing But Now starts now. Hi, everyone. I'm Mary Angela McGuire, and you're listening to Nothing But Now on Transformation Talk Radio. Welcome to the show. I'm so glad you could join me today. I'm sitting down today. I normally do the show standing up, but I mentioned 2 weeks ago that I'm at the 6-month mark trying some new things, and one of them is sitting down to see if that allows me to take my own advice about being calmer and more present in the moment, so being more mindful, which is, of course, the purpose of this show, for me to support you and myself on a mindfulness journey of being present to the moment without judgment. And I always like to mention that both parts of that idea of mindfulness are equally important. When we talk about mindfulness in popular culture, there's often the emphasis on, well, it's about presence. It's about being awake and aware and really focused on what's immediately happening in front of you, as opposed to being lost in thought about anxiety about the future or worrying about the past. But the second part of it, without judgment, is equally important because we can be fully present to the moment, but if we are in a habit of mind of deep judgment, then that is also a way of bringing suffering into our lives. So being present to the moment without judgment, both are really important. So in the spirit of the 6-month transition, one of the things I've not really said before, but I want to say today, is that as I think about the purpose of the show, there's the helping people in their mindfulness journey, talking about concepts that are really important in mindfulness and examples of various ways that we get stuck and trapped in difficult, fearful, and negative thinking. But one of the things I have not really said is that this show itself, you being there listening to this show, can for you, I think, and I know it is for me, can be a practice of mindfulness, a practice of self-care in that mindfulness journey. I sometimes mention that I've had clients who I've asked, so, you know, what are you doing for self-care? And they might say a couple of things, but then they get kind of stuck. And then sometimes they'll say, well, no, wait a minute, Mary Angela. One of the things I'm doing is talking to you. So these interactions, this opportunity can in itself be part of self-care, part of a mindfulness journey. And so what does that mean, or what advice am I giving you about then what to do with that? I would say what it means is you might want to listen to the show, if it's all at all possible, in a quiet place. You might want to listen to it and just listen to it, not do other things, right? That may not be possible. You need to be maybe washing the dishes or driving somewhere. That may be not possible to do only one thing at a time and listen to the show. But if you could, that would be nice. And if you can't, and as long as you're not driving, maybe you could also listen with a notebook, because if you've listened before, you know, there are going to be some pearls of wisdom coming out of my mouth occasionally, right? But more important than that, what I hope happens as you listen to the show is that things resonate with you, right? You hear a concept and you say, oh my gosh, that explains it. That describes it. And you write it down. And then you maybe spend some time thinking about it or do some more, check online to see other people who've talked about it, to learn more about it, to deepen your understanding of it, and to deepen the consequences of that knowledge for your mindfulness practice. I also, of course, use a lot of examples from my own life, from loads of family, friends, clients, etc. And there, my guess is that as you listen to an example from your own experience will pop into your mind. So that's the most important thing, is maybe to write that down. This reminds me of that, right? I see this happening in my life in this way. So that the notes that you take, promise, no quizzes, no exams, but as an opportunity for just for greater reflection. I keep that kind of journal. I make notes sometimes, but not always after I meditate. I certainly keep some notes related to the show there because it's they're concepts that are important to me in my own mindfulness journey. So I encourage that, and you may never go back to them. But the practice of just writing things down actually reinforces our understanding, but you might go back to, and that's a good thing as well. So using this show as a tool is really what I'm encouraging, and I'm hoping that you'll have the opportunity to do as we go forward. So why do we do this? And why are we at this kind of transition point in talking about what mindfulness means and how we can use it in this broader sense? So mindfulness practices bring us internal peace, right? Being peaceful within ourselves allows us to bring more peace into the world and to the world around us, regardless of what's happening right now. Regardless of your political perspective, right? It's having greater peacefulness in our lives is something that all of us, I think, can value and can strive for. Being at peace within ourselves in order to bring more peace into the world. And today in particular, let's say 2 weeks ago, I talked about this in broad general terms of key concepts in mindfulness. Today, I want to be a little bit more specific. And again, using the quote from Rodney Smith, that's really shifted my perspective. And so I keep using it on the show too, because I want it to shift yours, I guess. Awakening is immediately available within all areas of our lives, work, community. One doesn't have to be spiritually prioritized over the others. He writes, "The Buddha is found not only in special environments or practices, but within all activities, reactions, thoughts, and emotional responses right where we are." So that is the theme for today's show, right where we are. But we're gonna shift that a little bit, I suppose. We're going to talk about the whole day. We're going to talk about morning, midday, and evening. And what are the, not just the concepts, but what are the concrete practices that we can bring into each part of our day to increase mindfulness? Some very explicit, things like meditation, and some more internal, things that we can think about throughout the course of our day in order to enhance mindfulness, to be more responsive in our lives and less reactive in our lives. And so one of the things that we do, of course, is bringing attention to our breath. So let's start there for today, as we always do, with three deep breaths. This is a practice that I hope you'll use throughout your day. I often do it when I'm about to enter what I consider for me a stressful situation. It's also something I do late at night. If I wake up in the middle of the night and have trouble getting back to sleep, I will use this practice. It can be just a way to center myself, to what I would say, climb back into my physical body and be aware of my physical reaction to the world and to calm myself down. So when we do this practice, we try to make the exhalation longer than the inhalation. We try to pause at the top of the inhalation. And we specifically, in this case, use Lori Cameron, who's a mindfulness educator's practice called three deep breaths. And with the first breath, we try to only pay attention to the sensation of the air entering and exiting our body. With the second breath, we try to pay attention to and notice any place in our body where we feel tension and relax. And then with that third breath, we want to set our intentions for this moment. What do we need right now? In my case, to be calm and clear. Maybe in your case, to be open, right? So here we go with three deep breaths. I hope you'll join me. Breath number one, just pay attention to your breath. Breath number two, relax. And breath number three, set your intention for this moment. Great. Thank you for joining me with that. Again, that is something, it's simple, it's, we think, less than a minute, and it can really make a difference throughout the day if you give yourself permission to do it, which is really a critical issue that we're going to talk about today in any of these practices, and that is giving ourselves permission to practice. So 2 weeks ago, when we did the overview, and I'm going to just do a real quick synopsis of that, we talked about becoming students of our own mind, and what that meant was recognizing typically the voices of anxiety and negativity that might dominate our thinking, and seeing them for what they are. They're the voices sometimes of family, of culture, of social conventions that are trying to protect us, but in ways that emphasize fear and judgment and lead to suffering. So mindfulness practices help us see that we are not those voices. We are the authentic self who witnesses those voices, and we can respond to them with loving kindness and not allow them to overwhelm us. So when those voices arise, instead of getting mad at ourselves, instead of thinking that they are just us, we start to separate ourselves from them. And instead of being mad at ourselves for those voices arising, we look at them with an attitude of loving kindness. We acknowledge them and we let them pass through us, and any feelings, physical feelings, emotional feelings that are connected to them, we recognize it, acknowledge it, and let it pass. And rather than allowing it to get to pull us away or to drown us, kind of push us down and feel stuck in place by overwhelming thoughts and feelings. So we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about the morning. How do you wake up in the morning? Well, while we're on the break, maybe you'd think about that. What was your morning like today? Do you remember what your first thoughts were, your first feelings, what you did in those first 5 minutes of wakefulness, maybe even before you got out of bed? So that's your assignment during the break. What was your morning, the very first part of your morning like? I'm Mary Angela McGuire, and you're listening to Nothing But Now on Transformation Talk Radio, and we'll be right back.
Miss any shows during the week? Don't worry, we've got you covered. With the free Transformation Talk Radio app, you'll have access to all of the past week's shows in the palm of your hand. Yes! Tune in to Transformation Talk Radio anywhere you go with our free app for any of your devices. Check out our app in the App Store and Google Play Store today.
Yeah, yippee skippy to that, baby. We're not done yet. Some of us are out here to educate and inspire. This year, 2020, is the year we gotta show me the money in the cash flow. I'm Dr. Pat. This is the Dr. Pat Show. This is Talk Radio to Thrive By.
Visit thedrpatshow.com.
Disease, one of the most dreaded words in our vocabulary. Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. Did you know traditionally we have viewed disease as a degenerative process? Disease is better understood when we view it as dis-ease in the human body. Dis-ease means without ease. Health is not merely the absence of disease. It's when every part of the body works together effortlessly, relaxed and at ease. It's that relaxed state that lets energy flow in waves through and around the entire body. Every organ has an electrical charge, and when overcharged or undercharged, dis-ease occurs. And it is an effort to go through our day. We are able to determine the exact dis-ease of the body and design a specific solution to correct the nutritional imbalance. Contact us at 888-777-4232. That's 888-777-4232. And visit us at MaryJaneMack.com.
Stuck in a roundabout of dysfunction? Learn how to speak your truth to power with host Dr. Kathy Aubert. Create real change with smart tools and smart strategies. No frills, no fluff, just life-changing conversations to help get you where you want to be. Extend your reach and become an agent for real change with Kathy Aubert. For more information on Kathy and her work, please visit drkathyaubert.com. That's drkathyaubert.com.
Hi, I'm Laura Meeks, and the most common problem that my clients face is all work and no play. This is why I created Fly High Living. I help you develop a balanced life plan and guide you to a place where you love to wake up in the morning.
Call 888-666-1570 or go to flyhighliving.com to sign up for the 4-week Flight Plan for Life course.
Thank you.
everyone. I'm Mary Angela McGuire, and you're listening to Nothing But Now on Transformation Talk Radio. Thanks for joining me today. Today we're focusing on each segment of the day and what it is that happens during that part of your day and how it is that you can bring mindfulness practices into that part of your day. Each part of the day presents different kinds of challenges, I would argue, and I think you would agree that there are things that make it difficult to stay present to the moment without judgment, and those sort of evolve over the course of a day. So before the break, I asked you to think about what your morning was like. Just those first couple of minutes after you woke up. So maybe do you wake up even the same way every day? Is there some similarity? But I want you to be thinking about that right now, particularly today. So did an alarm go off and startle you out of a sound sleep? Were you already awake and anticipating the alarm? What were you thinking about as you started to wake up? Were you still in thinking about a dream that you'd just had, or maybe even a little bit in the dream itself? Were you thinking through all the things you hope to accomplish today, then making that to-do list? Were you dreading a particular item on your to-do list and already sort of rehearsing how you'd manage the situation and what would be difficult about it? Were you anticipating problems in general, or reflecting on past situations that have been the source of stress and unhappiness? Some people wake up really filled with light and love and happiness, and some of us wake up already anticipating the things that are going to be difficult today. And I think in the course of this pandemic, as people have had new stresses and new levels of stress and new sort of conglomerations of activities and responsibilities, I imagine it's harder and harder to feel like you're sleeping soundly and more difficult to wake up in a positive frame of mind, and that the fear and negativity might come rushing in pretty quickly, or at least that kind of heaviness we might feel in our chest regarding our responsibilities and what it is we're supposed to accomplish today and all the demands and needs of the people around us that we're trying to meet. So, you know, what can you do with your mind in those first moments if your current habit is one that does not put you at ease? So I'm going to use this segment to talk about meditation because, to be honest, this is what has worked for me. And it's not just the meditation practice itself, but it's a little bit about what had to happen around it in order for me to start my day with a meditation practice. So my alarm goes off at 5 a.m., which for me seems kind of early. And one of the things that initially made that difficult, because I get up at 5 specifically so I can meditate. That's the whole purpose of that 5 o'clock alarm, is to get up, get out of bed, use the bathroom, go to the place where I meditate, sit down and meditate. I don't check my phone other than to change the alarm. I certainly don't look at email or news. I don't talk to my partner. I barely put my hair in this kind of weird bun that I wear, right? I just get ready to go to meditate. I don't get ready to do anything else. And that's great, you know, yay me, right? But it was not an easy habit to establish. And one of the things that made it really difficult was that I realized 5 a.m. was the right time of day for me to meditate, but I resisted going to bed earlier. So when the alarm went off at 5 a.m., my needy, cranky inner child urged me to stay in bed, right? And you can think about this, whether it's, you know, it's exercise, it's a writing habit practice if you're a writer, all kinds of things that we say to ourselves, I want to do this. No, really, I want to do this. I want to make this part of my daily life. But when it comes, when the moment comes, there's often something that we're doing that allows that inner child to say, don't do it, just stay in bed, it's going to be okay, just don't do it. So I really had to make a decision. And of course, it seems simple. The obvious answer, right? Go to bed earlier, right? But that's not, ask your own self, right? What would it mean? What's the web within which a person goes to bed earlier? Now, I only live with one other person, right? But I finally realized that I had to say out loud to my partner, I'm going to go to bed earlier, right? At this hour, I'm going to get up, no matter what we're watching on television, and I'm going to go to bed. And I had to say it out loud because I had to own what sometimes happened after that, the dynamic, which was she might say, oh, just let's watch one more episode of Schitt's Creek, right? Or whatever the thing is we might be watching. And I certainly didn't think that she would be mad at me if I said no, but I thought she'd be disappointed. And I didn't want to disappoint her. So when I finally said to myself, it's important to me. It's important enough to me to get up at 5 a.m. to meditate that I am willing to say to this person I love, I'm going to do this. And I'm going to ask you a favor. I'm going to ask you not to encourage me to stay up. And the reason I'm going to do that is because it's hard for me to say no to you, because I'm afraid I'm going to disappoint you if I say no. And it allowed me to take full responsibility for the dynamic. Right. She wasn't being difficult or trying to undermine me, although that might be where my critical judging mind would go, by saying, oh, let's watch one more episode. Right. She was being, you know, companionable, right? Amiable. She likes my company. She likes to watch TV with me. All those are positive things. Right. So I had to say it out loud. I had to take responsibility for the whole dynamic. When you do that, here's how I feel, and here's where my mind goes, and here's what my decision is going to be. And I don't like that. I don't want that anymore. I'm going to change that. And, you know, she stopped asking the question, and I go to bed earlier. And so when the alarm goes off at 5 a.m., I'm not unhappy, and that inner child is not urging me to go back to sleep. So that's thing number one, is really it's that kind of a giving yourself permission to say, I want to do this. And there are some things I need to do around it, right? Because let's talk about meditation, shall we? Well, I'll talk about it. You can be thinking about it, and I hope making some notes to yourself about some of the things I'm going to say, because it's great, you know, my experience, if I can do it in the morning, and I think it's a great way to start the day. I think most people would benefit from doing it in the morning, but that may not be the time of day that works for you. But before we talk about those strategies, I want you to think about, maybe write down if you're taking notes. When I say, you might want to incorporate a meditation practice into your life, what are some of your initial thoughts and feelings? Maybe you were even having these thoughts and feelings while I was talking about my how do I get up at 5 a.m. practice, and maybe you're thinking about them now. Some of the things I hear people say almost immediately is, I don't have time for that. I don't have time to sit down and be quiet for 20 minutes or even five. Sometimes there's a kind of feeling like just uncomfortable. I don't know what it means. I don't know what it would feel like. I don't know why people do it. I don't know. It's like leaping off a cliff, and it feels a little bit scary or unknown, and people don't know what's on the other side of it. And so they resist it and say no to it. Some people would say, my partner will laugh at me. If I tell my partner I'm going to get up at 5 a.m. to go meditate, they'll think I'm a crackpot. They'll think it's silly. They'll think it's not of any great value. So in order to have that kind of practice, obviously one of the things you might need to do is to check in with yourself about how does it feel? What are some mental limiting beliefs you might have about whether or not having a meditation practice would work for you? What are some thoughts and feelings that get in the way? And I think identifying those is a way of saying, you know what, that's normal. That happens. It's okay. That doesn't mean you shouldn't do it if that's what you want to do, if you want to incorporate it into your life. And I think there's a ton of resources. You know, some people are persuaded by science. Some people are persuaded by personal stories, sort of testimony about these things. So if you're persuaded by science and you want to learn more about why a meditation practice is valuable, you could read Robert Wright's book, Why Buddhism is True, right? He's a journalist, and he brings, you know, Buddhism and neuroscience together in a way that I think is very compelling and persuasive about the value of something like a meditation practice. If you're really moved by personal stories, reading someone like Tara Brach, whether it's Radical Acceptance or Radical Compassion. In addition to talking about those concepts, each chapter has a meditation practice connected to it. And that's a great way to get into a meditation practice, is by bringing the kind of specifics that she suggests into a daily practice. And that's another thing I want to mention about daily practice. When I first started to meditate, I tended to do it whenever I could sort of fit it in a day. And it wasn't at the same time every day, and it wasn't every day. And the research on that is very clear too, which is that there's more benefit to a shorter practice that is consistent and daily than longer meditation periods that are maybe inconsistent or just kind of a once in a while thing. So when we're going to take a break, and when we come back, I'm just going to go through some of the logistics of how you might set up your own meditation practice in ways that are low stakes, that are simple, that don't require a lot of effort, and you don't have to buy a darn thing to do it, right? And I'm going to reference Ruth King's book, Mindful of Race, where she has a great description of a sitting meditation practice. So she's a great resource in terms of learning about meditation practices in the context of learning about race. So I'm Mary Angela McGuire, and you're listening to Nothing But Now on Transformation Talk Radio, and we'll be right back.
Are you tired of being tired? Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. Did you know the adrenal glands, the workhorse of the body? They are the means by which you position yourself in life for whatever comes your way. Tiny but mighty, producing hormones the body uses to promote energy and vitality. These adrenals determine how you respond to stress, and when depleted, the body loses its ability to function powerfully when we need it most. The much-needed adrenaline or epinephrine is not available for emergency situations. Cortisone and cortisol, the longer-acting anti-stress adrenal hormones, can also become depleted due to the pace of our everyday lives. We overwork and undernutrition our most powerful ally that helps us to live the lives we desire. We are able to determine the optimum function of the adrenals and put your system back in balance. Contact us today to feel powerfully energized at 888-777-4232 or visit us at MaryJaneMack.com.
Message delivery by Lisa Ann. You can't make this stuff up. Tune in every first and third Thursday at 1 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Message delivery is an inspirational show about the journey to enlightenment and spirituality. For more information or your own personal message delivery, visit AngelMessagesToYou.com. That's AngelMessages, the number two, the letter U.com.
Are you ready to shift your current beliefs about death? From debilitating pain and loss? Follow Angie Corbett-Kuyper as she shares that through choice, present moment awareness, and keeping an open mind. Anything is possible, even in death. Tune in to Beyond Proof Radio with Angie, redefining death and loss every first Wednesday at 12 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. For more, visit BeyondProof.com.
What would you do with the power of community? How do you create your own rituals? Tune in to Living Your Gifts with me, Susan Huff, Ancient Applications for Modern Times, the second Wednesday of each month on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Our lives begin with the stories we are told and the stories we tell ourselves. Storytelling is the key. To learn more about me, visit LivingYourGifts.com. That's LivingYourGifts.com.
We remember a time when you could simply form a thought and it would manifest. The harmony was forgotten, but it is returning now. The Power of Inspiration and Awakening Radio with Julia Griffin on TransformationTalkRadio.com each second and fourth Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific will take you on adventures through the heart and spirit, exploring who we once were. This intuitive healer studied under the guidance of wolves, learning from their wisdom to master a higher frequency for a new state of mind. Visit OneTrueSelf.com.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to Nothing But Now. I'm Mary Angela McGuire, and you're listening to Nothing But Now on Transformation Talk Radio. So we're talking today about the mindful day, having a mindful day. And it's funny, I always promote the show on Facebook, on my Facebook accounts on the day of the show. And today, a friend of mine, somebody I've known since I was 7 years old, wrote in response to the headline about the show and said, oh, I couldn't possibly be mindful all day long. And I wrote her back and I said, neither could I. But there's some strategies we can use to bring mindful moments into our day throughout the day. So we've been talking really specifically about establishing a meditation practice. For me, the best time of day is 5 a.m. It morning may not be the right time for you, but here are some tips about establishing that practice that I think really make a difference. So the first one is from Ruth King in her book, Mindful of Race. And she's describes a sitting meditation practice. And she suggests that you commit yourself to 5 minutes a day for 5 weeks. And it's really just a strategy, a good strategy for establishing any kind of habit. Right now, I am an impatient person, so I took her advice, but I did 5 minutes the first day, 6 minutes the second day, 7 minutes the third day, until I got to 20 minutes, because I have 20 minutes from 5 a.m. to 5:20, and that's what that time is for. It's not for anything else, and I don't have more than 20 minutes, I don't think. I've decided at this point in my life. I think I'd like to have another 20 minutes somewhere else in the day, but I haven't found that optimum spot yet either. So, but 5 minutes a day for 5 weeks is very effective. It also can work just gradually working up at a minute at a time to whatever the maximum time that you have to devote in that part of your day is. So that's strategy number one. It's very important to choose a particular place, if it's at all possible in the context of your life, to go to the same spot every day. And if you can bring into that spot something that things that are important to you or that are significant to you, so much the better. This is a place where people, they might burn incense, they might bring figures of religious figures that are important to them. I'll be honest, my mother's ashes are a few feet away from where I practice meditation. My eyes are closed, but my body's aimed towards a big window in my house that I'm looking out into the sky. That's really important to me. It's just helpful to go to the same spot every day, and for that spot, to the extent possible, to be a place of meaning for you. And maybe it's mobile, right? Maybe you bring the things to that spot every day because the rest of the time it's a corner in your kitchen, right? But whatever works for you, but to just bring that kind of regularity of time of day and location and meaningful objects can really make a difference and can help you establish that practice. What I've noticed over the course of having a meditation practice is that the first thing I spend a lot of time doing is just settling into my body. Now, I have done a meditation practice where I sit on a zafu or a cushion on the floor, but honestly, I spend so much time thinking about my physical comfort and discomfort that it's kind of counterproductive. So now I sit in a chair. But I still want to spend the first part of that practice really coming into my body, really noticing my body from my toes to the top of my head. And so that's a practice called a body scan. And that's what I do at the beginning of each practice, is that I think about my toes. And then I move all the way up my body, one body part at a time, to the top of my head. I try to think about how they feel. Right? If they're touching fabric or the floor, if I can feel air movement across my ankles, right? If I can feel the pull of the fabric across my knees and the pants I'm wearing, I try to feel my body from the inside. For some reason, I always feel like there's tension in my legs, right? And all the way up. And in that process, I'm trying to relax into my body. I'm trying to relax in general, but I'm trying to really be present and only be in that space of mindful awareness without judgment of my body. Right. And those are two really challenging things, right? Of mindful awareness, right? Being only thinking about and being present to and conscious of what's happening for me in terms of my body. But for many of us, thinking about our bodies without judging our bodies, that's kind of a big goal. And it's a good one. So something to think about is a body scan at the beginning of your practice. And then moving to breath awareness. And that's simply paying attention to the sensation of the breath entering and exiting your body. The tendency, my tendency anyway, as soon as I start to think about my breath, I change my breath, right? I think, well, I don't probably breathe deeply enough. So as soon as I move my attention to my breath, I might change my breath. I sometimes think I'm trying to sneak up on my breath, right? And not change it, but whatever. Pay attention to that. That's the next thing, is to really be following the breath. And the way I do that is I count backwards from 27. 27 in, 27 out, right? 26 in, 26 out, all the way to one, and then I start over again. That's just a way of keeping my attention in the moment, right there with my breath, and paying attention to nothing but my breath. Now, will my mind wander? You betcha, right? Of course it will. And, you know, people use that phrase monkey mind to talk about the ways in which, you know, our minds wander when we're trying to practice something like meditation or mindfulness or mindfulness meditation. But I think what's interesting about it is not just that our mind wanders, but that in the reflection after a meditation session, to notice where our mind wanders. So one of the things I've noticed, for instance, is that I, especially initially, it was very hard for me not to think in that kind of, am I doing this right? Am I doing this right? Is this how, was this what it's supposed to look like, feel like, et cetera? Right. So I'm a judger and I'm fearful and I worry about not doing things correctly. So that's where my mind goes. And no surprise, that's where my mind goes in a lot of the rest of my day too. So thinking about that. Counting back from 27, I learned in a yoga class and I realized the first couple of times I was doing it, I would lose track. And what the teacher had said is, you know, if you lose track, just go back to 27 and start over. And for some reason, that felt like a punishment to me. So here I am in a quiet space. Nobody else is inside my mind, correct? And I'm thinking, do I really have to go back to 27? Couldn't I just start over? And finally, I thought, good grief, who's judging me, right? Why am I judging myself about this? Why? What the heck, right? So I just, now I'm a little bit better about just go back to 27. And I think what is important to say about meditation is that your mind will go sometimes to uncomfortable places. And even when you gently bring yourself back to the present moment, to the awareness of your breath, what I have found is that sometimes difficult feelings arise. It's not uncommon for me to feel tears in the midst of meditation, not necessarily having a real clear sense of the object or the subject of those tears, but just feeling a little bit overwhelmed by emotion. It happens, and that's okay. Another thing that happens in meditation, and I love Jack Kornfield talks about this, of, you know, suddenly you have an itch. Nose itches, top of my head itches, something. And, you know, in regular life, if something itches, I scratch it quickly. I don't think twice about it. I just do it. And in meditation, the goal is to just let it pass, right? It's hard to do. So here's what I've noticed. If I can allow that, and it might sometimes, the best way to allow it for me is to just think about it. Wow, my nose itches. And before I know it, as I go back to my breath, as I go back to the counting, the itch has passed. And for me, that's a pretty powerful thing to notice. I also noticed that when I give myself permission to go ahead and scratch it, suddenly I itch everywhere, right? That one scratch does not actually solve the problem. It makes the problem worse. And I think it's a great metaphor for reactivity, right? If I'm reactive, I often make the problem worse. If I can bring stillness, I can take a deep breath, sometimes the situation passes. So for me, the thing about meditation is allowing whatever's going to arise. And that's what I would hope for you if you establish a meditation practice, if you haven't already, and I'm sure some of you have. I know at least a couple of listeners who already do that. So then the next part of our day, right? What you want to ask yourself, what is your day filled with, right? Meetings and chores and errands, using social media, watching TV, reading a book, interacting with your loved ones, right, in person or maybe through Zoom itself if people are far away and you haven't been able to be in contact with them face to face. So if we watch ourselves, we want to notice what happens to our minds when we get into what we consider for us a stressful condition. Not the same for everyone, right? My stress is not necessarily generated the same way that yours is. Right, but when do we have those overwhelmed feelings? And the one that tells us especially that we can't take a deep breath before we respond, right? The one that demands action or reaction right now, right? Is there a feeling sometimes during the course of your day of feeling watched and judged, under surveillance somehow? And then asking yourself, you know, who's doing that judging? So in this general strategy of becoming students of our own mind, throughout the course of the day, we may not, you know, sort of, I was thinking about it with push-ups, like, you know, drop and give me 10. So I can't tell you to, you know, drop and give me 3 deep breaths or drop and meditate for 10 minutes, right? But we can start to notice what are those things that create that feeling of being pushed or shoved or watched or forced to not even take a deep breath before we respond, right? What are the conditions under which you feel absolutely compelled to act right now? And more important, to be thinking about whose voice is that in your head that's telling you, you must react right now, or you are being watched and judged right now. So we're going to take a break. And when we come back, I'm going to talk a little bit more about that habit of that kind of judging and mind under surveillance. And what are some things we can do in the course of our day to reduce that feeling, or at least to become more aware of it, so that it's not acting on us, and that we see it, and that we do give ourselves permission to take a deep breath before we respond. Okay? I'm Mary Angela McGuire, and you're listening to Nothing But Now on Transformation Talk Radio. We'll be right back.
Do you feel that you must stand alone in this life? Listen deeply, beloved soul. You are not alone. Laura Hosford offers you authentic channeled messages of love, inspiration, and heart-healing grace to guide you forward in transcending your consciousness and becoming the change you wish to see in the world. Want to get involved? Join the Get Your Goddess Groove on Facebook group and get some goddess energy in your life. Women supporting women, emotional and spiritual growth. What's not to love? Just search for Get Your Goddess Groove on Facebook and join Laura's growing community of women who are finding that divine love has lived within them all along. Share your stories, your challenges, offer your insights, celebrate spiritual growth. Join the Get Your Goddess Groove on Facebook group today.
We remember a time when you could simply form a thought and it would manifest. The harmony was forgotten, but it is returning now. The Power of Inspiration and Awakening Radio with Julia Griffin on TransformationTalkRadio.com each second and fourth Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific will take you on adventures through the heart and spirit, exploring who we once were. This intuitive healer studied under the guidance of wolves, learning from their wisdom to master a higher frequency for a new state of mind. Visit OneTrueSelf.com.
Tune into Three Things I've Learned with Susan Dolce every first and third Tuesday of the month at noon Pacific, 3 o'clock Eastern on Transformation Talk Radio. Join Susan and her guests as they share the stories that shift our souls about radical transformations, courageous breakthroughs, and life lessons. Three Things I've Learned with Susan Dolce. For more information, go to TransformationTalkRadio.com or visit Susan's website at SusanDolce.com.
A word of caution, if you prefer the status quo and you are not interested in improving every aspect of your life, this book will trigger the shift out of you. The Truth is Funny, Shift Happens is available now. Author Colette Steffen brings the powerful knowledge and life-changing energy and empowerment from the radio airwaves to the pages of her new book. To get your copy in paperback or ebook, visit thetruthisfunny.com today.
Hi, everyone. I'm Daniel from intuitionwisdom.com.
And I'm Dr. Pat. We've got something super special. What a generous gift. Wow.
It's time to discover who you really are. And we're offering a free intuitive reading on our website at intuitionwisdom.com. All you got to do is take the step to become one with the universe, and the life purpose is that bridge. So please come to our website, intuitionwisdom.com.
That's intuitionwisdom.com. Life purpose unlocks abundance.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to Nothing But Now on Transformation Talk Radio. I'm Mary Angela McGuire, and today we're talking about each part of the day and what we can do in each part of the day to bring ourselves back to the present moment without judgment or be mindful. So what we were talking about before the break is the middle part of our day when we're probably the most, in some cases, besieged by expectations and needs of other people and needs of our job, our home environment, laundry that needs to be done, chores that need to be done, errands that need to be run, people that need to be moved and addressed and attended to and fed, et cetera, and work, meetings and reports and all sorts of demands on our time. And it can easily lead to a feeling of being overwhelmed. And what I'm suggesting is that what's a great place for three deep breaths when we have the moment to do that, the time to do that, to say, you know, what is happening in this moment? Ruth King asks these three great questions about in stressful situations. If you could just allow yourself or give yourself permission to ask these three questions. How is this body feeling? Really noticing any tension or anxiety or fearfulness that you feel at the level of your physical self. Where is the breath? Maybe you don't have time to do three deep breaths, but can you at least for a moment bring your attention back to your breath? And then, can I be more at ease in this moment? And I know that probably seems like a very unrealistic question to ask if you're imagining situations where you feel stressed or overwhelmed or in conflict. But it's really a question of such loving kindness towards the self. Can I be more at ease in this moment? I think there are so many ways in which we don't allow ourselves to be at ease. We don't think we deserve it. We don't think that it's available to us. We might even think that if we allow ourselves to be more at ease, we lose our edge. We're not going to be able to be quick in our responses. We're not going to be able to stay on the cutting edge of whatever thing we think we're on the cutting edge of, right? That somehow is going to dull us to be more at ease in this moment. And I would just argue, I think it's ultimately the opposite, right? We might get through a lot of our life, especially our 20s when we have a lot of energy, always be in that kind of stressed place. But, you know, people often realize as they get older that they're not happy living that way and it's not sustainable, that there's real physical and mental damage done to us if we are always in that kind of hyped up, scratch the itch as soon as it itches experience or feeling or dynamic. So asking yourself when you're in that moment and just giving yourself permission to remember to practice, how is this body feeling? Where is the breath? Can I be more at ease in this moment? That's really going to be a powerful practice in our everyday lives. So I strongly encourage that. And I just want to say one more thing about that, which is I think sometimes we tell ourselves that, I think we don't always know the difference between what I would call escape versus respite. So as you think about all the stuff you do during the day, there may be a point in your day when you give yourself a break. But I want you to think about, what is that break? And is it an escape or is it a respite? So an escape might be I binge watch television and I just shut down in every other way and just watch television, or I troll online for great deals to shop for, or I, what is it, doom scrolling, right? I just feed my mind with the news and all of the urgencies and difficulties of the day. So to me, that's escape because I'm not dealing with what's in front of me that may be stressful, needs of other people, work demands, etc. But as soon as I stop doing whatever that escape thing is, it's still there. Respite to me is different because it is like meditation is a great example of respite. I can quiet my mind. I can bring myself back fully to my body and to my breath. I can rest. I can rest my mind. And when I'm done, the problems are still there, but I come back to those problems with a different frame of mind, right? I can be more at ease in this moment if I have given myself some respite. And it may be meditation. It may be going for a walk. It may be trying to do something that is kind of low mental energy, right? Doesn't take a lot of thinking. It's the making the bed or the washing the dishes, but it's doing it with a full attention to the moment, without judgment, without to-do lists, without being weighed down by fears from the past or worries about the future, right? It is with mindfulness. And it may be 5 minutes, it may be 10 minutes, maybe you get a half an hour. But sometimes you want to ask yourself in the midst of your day, when you have a practice, something that you're doing that you think of as helpful, right? Giving yourself a break, rewarding yourself even, am I escaping in this moment or am I actually giving myself respite, quietness, ease, so that when I come back to all the challenges that are going to remain, I can do so with an easier mind. So then evening, getting ready for bed, thinking about the end of the day. And I know for a lot of people, and this has been my experience too, is that as I get ready for bed, when I would like to be at my most calm, I often find my mind racing. That is a time when, you know, the other demands of the day, the physical demands of chores and children and work maybe have gone to the side. I'm alone in my own mind anyway, if not in my bed, actually. And but all the fears and all the anxieties come rushing back, right? So what can you do in as you get ready for bed? Or in and you know, there are lots of things, people, great sleep habits. It's about having a dark enough room. It's about going to bed at the same time every night. It's about being a little bit cooler rather than a little bit warmer. It's, you know, there's a lot of stuff we can do around sleep health that's very important. But sometimes once we get in the bed, those thoughts can still intrude. So I've got two strategies that I use. One is the breathing exercise. It really does help. And but what I do when I want to make sure I say is there's the first breath. You know, this is Laurie Cameron's three breaths, right? So it's the first breath of paying attention to my breath. It's the second breath of relaxing any place I feel tension. And then third breath, when I set my intention, what is my intention as I go to sleep? To go to sleep, right? I set my intention and I say my intention is to have a good night's sleep, giving myself permission to have a good night's sleep, right? For no other reason than to have a good night's sleep. So, and because it's okay for me to do that. I deserve that. And so do you, certainly. The other thing I do sometimes before the deep breaths is a gratitude practice. There are lots of great ideas about how to have a gratitude practice, and mine is a pretty simple one. I just try to think of 10 things that happened that day or about that day for which I am grateful. And I just want to be clear about a couple of things around this. One is I have kind of a low bar, maybe you might think. If it was sunny out, I can be grateful for the sun. If it hasn't rained in a while and it rained, I'm going to be grateful for the rain. I am grateful for part people in my life. I'm grateful for what I had for lunch because, you know, I love a good tuna fish sandwich, right? It doesn't have to be big stuff. It can be the most ordinary stuff. And one of the things I noticed when I first started doing this is that I would often say, I would get a little bit caught up with maybe something I'd done. So I would, instead of saying, I'm grateful that I made those three phone calls that I was avoiding, I would say, I'm glad I made those three phone calls. You know, being glad I did something is not the same as being grateful. And it's a way, you know, and I have lots of stuff in my life that I dread doing, and I get them done, and I feel really good about myself. And you know what? It's okay to be grateful to myself. It's okay to express gratitude for things that I have done, especially if I know there are things that are hard for me to do. Or that I, you know, am reluctant to do for whatever reason, or things that bring up fears, etc. So that's what I want to encourage you to do, is two ways to, I find, really calm my mind, and to put the gratitude list is a way of, you know, sometimes gratitude lists can come back and whack us in the face and make us feel bad because some people have done so much for us, or, you know, various things that we say to ourselves that can undermine that. But to me, it is just, it provides a little bit of peace. And that's the whole goal here, isn't it? To bring greater peace into my own life so that I can bring greater peace into the world. So that's a mindful day. These are some strategies to think about throughout the course of your day so that you can be more at ease in this moment, in every moment. These are the things that I talk with clients about all the time. And if you're interested in learning more about my work, feel free to find me at my email address, which is maryangelamaguire@gmail.com, or at Maguire Life Coach, which is my website. You can find me on Facebook, of course, as well. The first conversation is always free, and we'll talk about what you'd like to achieve through coaching. I'll describe the inquiry method I use with clients. We'll have a short session, and then you can determine if this is going to be helpful to you. So visit my website, mcguirelifecoach.com, email me at maryangelamcguire@gmail.com, and we'll set up a time to talk. I hope you'll join me next Thursday at noon Pacific, 3 Eastern time. Recently, a listener asked me to devote an episode to the challenge of remaining mindful during this increasingly stressful election season. And I thought it was a great, somewhat daunting suggestion, and I really love suggestions. So if you have one, feel free. You could go to my Facebook page in particular and just tell me some suggestions you have for topics you'd like to see me address. I decided that I needed a partner in crime on this. And so my friend, Dr. Craig Gingrich Philbrook, is going to join me. So we're going to talk next Thursday at noon Pacific time, 3 o'clock Eastern time, about how is it that people can bring an attitude of mindfulness, non-judging awareness, present to the moment in this incredibly difficult, stressful season. I'll be honest, it has been a struggle for me. I know it's a struggle for a lot of people, regardless of their political beliefs. So I hope you'll join us and we'll have that conversation. So until next time, please be curious about your mind and please be kind to yourself. And thanks for listening to Nothing But Now on Transformation Talk Radio. You've been listening to Nothing But Now, Mindful Living with Dr. Maryangela McGuire on Transformation Talk Radio. Join me next time as we continue to practice mindfulness and challenge ourselves to change. If you'd like to find out more about my work or contact me, please go to my website, mcguirelifecoach.com. That's mcguirelifecoach.com. See you next time.
The music for Nothing But Now was created by Salt Theory. Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.